ξενοδοχείο θα κάψω. Για σένα τη Μεσόγειο θα κάψω. Φωτιά να πέσω μέσα της θα ανάψω. Μικρό μου τη ζωή σου θα αλλάξω. Για σένα τη Μεσόγειο θα κάψω.
Αγάπη να μιλήσω για τον πόνο μου. Με ποια στοργή να σκεπαστώ εδώ το βράδυ. Νιώθω της μοίρας στα ματόκλαδα πως βαρινά. Και κινδυνεύω να μισώ κάθε σου χαδί. Άλλαξε η ζωή μας, πώς θα σε αγγίξω. Πέτρινο λουλούδι, έγινες κι εσύ. Άλλαξε η ζωή μας, πού θα καταλήξω. Αφού η αγάπη τώρα μας μισεί. Άλλαξε η ζωή μας, πώς θα σε αγγίξω. Πέτρινο λουλούδι, έγινες κι εσύ. Άλλαξε η ζωή μας, πού θα καταλήξω. Μόνη μου χωρίς ψυχή. Τώρα τι ψάχνεις και πληγώνεις τη συγγνώμη μου. Τώρα τι θέλεις και σκεπάζεις τη συνήθεια. Νιώθω της μοίρας τα ματόκλαδα πως έκλεισα. Δεν κινδυνεύω να μισώ καθένα.
WNTN, home of Region Echoes, the longest running Greek American program in the country.
Once again, good morning, everybody. Καλημέρα σας, αγαπητοί ακροατές και ακροάτριες. We are at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and joining us with our weekly market update is Manny Frangidakis, along with Stamatis Astras. Gentlemen, good morning on this wet Tuesday in Boston.
Καλημέρα. Good morning.
Καλημέρα, καλημέρα.
How's everybody doing today?
Doing just great. Doing just great.
Good.
So, Manny, it looks like let's start with the banking crisis. Last week it was a full swing. We crossed the Atlantic. It came back to the First Republic, which has some local ties as well. But it looks like things have calmed down on the banking front. We're moving to the next story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's exactly what we talked about last week, was that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury made the correct action of reshoring deposits and making sure that there wasn't another run on a bank and more contagion or risk in the marketplace of consumers' fear of losing their capital. So that has been plugged up at the moment. We'll see what happens. I do think that, you know, potentially as the year progresses, you do see some smaller mid-market banks potentially close. But at the moment, they've been shored up and deposits have been made whole.
Yeah, that was obviously there is someone has to pay the piper, right?
Correct. Correct.
Can you elaborate a little bit, Manny? I was waiting for this. Someone came to the rescue. You know, other major banks came to the rescue, particularly for Credit Suisse, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of explain what happens. So that means that they ultimately will obtain that for their portfolio? I'm trying to understand, you know, how that works.
Yeah, well, so forget Credit Suisse. What you're thinking about in particular is First Republic.
Okay.
$30 billion was put together by Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, and some other financial institutions to shore up deposits there, right? So that was JP Morgan getting a phone call from the Treasury or the Fed saying, hey, you guys need to step up. We bailed you guys out in 2008.
Oh.
You guys are flush with capital. We need you to deposit this money into these institutions to make sure that we don't have another bank run and that customers are comfortable with their assets being held there.
So this
was exactly what took place.
That's what. So when it was initiated by the federal government, as opposed to these banks, you know, chipping in and saying, let's take them. What's in it for them, Manny? Something's got to be
deposits, banking clients. So for example, like Silicon Valley Bank was looked at as a very attractive acquisition because for a company like a JP Morgan, now that's not what happened. They were ended up being bought out by First BanCorp.
Okay.
For a few billion dollars at a $16.5 billion discount. So, right, they're getting a very cheap price for the asset that they're buying, and they are getting those deposits, and they're also creating those relationships. So for a company or an institution that doesn't potentially have exposure to venture capital, private equity, to the startup environment, that is a very attractive asset to purchase because that's exactly who Silicon Valley Bank's customers are. So that is where the attraction is. It's right. You're getting into a different market. And this is what's exactly this is going to take place in banking for the next 1 to 2 years. You're going to see M&A activity. You're going to see the largest banks get even larger.
Very interesting.
So less competition.
Isn't this deja vu? I just remember it was maybe 10 years ago whenever we did the banks.
What was that? I couldn't hear your question, Tomati.
Yeah, I'm saying like it's ironic because we're back where we were in the banking crisis again. Here we are again, you know.
Yeah, but it's ironic that we've had two of these happen in 14 years, right? Where if you look throughout history, it's really only happened one or two times, mostly around the Great Depression. The question is right now, and this is all over Wall Street, is what period of time are we in? Is this 2008? We don't believe it's 2008. It's a completely different banking problem than what you saw in 2008, right? 2008 was a leverage problem. Banks were over-leveraged. Customers were over-leveraged. You had a mortgage industry that had people that had very low income having three or four different mortgages. So it was a subprime crisis. It's completely different than what took place over the last 2 weeks, which really is poor risk management from the side of interest rates. So you may had banks who thought they made conservative investments into U.S. treasuries when the inflation rate was 0 to 2%. When you go to sell that treasury and your yield is 2% and inflation's at 5% and the Fed funds rate's at 5.5%, you can only sell that bond for pennies on the dollar. That is what happened to Silicon Valley. That's how they had all those losses. They had to raise the cash to make deposits whole. Completely different than 2008. Right now, the banks are actually well capitalized. They just had poor risk management on some capacity. And here's the other kicker is that even the stress test that the federal government puts through on the largest banks, right? Silicon Valley's not one of them. 16th largest by deposit holding, but doesn't have to go through the same scrutiny as a JP Morgan or B of A. When the Fed stress tested those banks, and this is what's kind of comical about the entire situation, they stress tested them on a 75 basis point rate increase. In reality, they raised over 5.5%.
Yes.
So even their own stress test wasn't even remotely in the realm of possibility of what their actions were.
So it is also part of a failure of the regulator.
It's a failure on the regulatory. It's a failed by politicians for rolling back parts of Dodd-Frank in 2018. There's multiple people to blame here, including the Federal Reserve, who kept interest rates at zero for the longest period of time and then refused to admit that inflation was a problem until very late and didn't start hiking rates until March of last year when we probably should have started this course 2 to 3 years ago.
Well, now we're paying the price.
Yeah. So now the question is where do we go from here? So you have two things that are taking place in the market right now, and there's two stories that are completely contradicting, and we don't know which one plays out. The first one is what's going to go on with inflation? What does the back end of this look like? And does the Fed stay on its course, or do they blink because they broke something last week? At the moment, the market is projecting a full point rate deduction by the end of this year and potentially starting as soon as June. That is what the bond market is pricing in for rate cuts. So that seems a little, yeah, that's why you have the S&P and the NASDAQ and the Dow hanging strong here. There's no other reason given everything that's taking place in the economy. What's happening right now is, are people getting ready to rush into stocks thinking that liquidity is going to come back into the market and that the Fed blinks and cuts rates instead of raising them? We could potentially be at peak terminal rate here. I do think that they probably go one more rate hike, and my hope is that they're actually very slow to implement rate cuts. Our hope is that we can get to 2024 without starting to cut rates. Because if we don't and we start cutting rates sooner, we could have a much larger inflation problem on the back end of this. Because what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to taper down demand. Tightening is already happening. Liquidity is getting removed from the system. Bank lending has massively declined on all fronts. The back end of that is that you should see hiring start to slow down significantly. And then you should start to see the labor market loosen up. That should bring inflation down. And you will start to see that in the numbers over the coming months, especially when you consider the fact that real estate, the key component of CPI, operates at an 11-month lag.
Yeah. Also, I was saying on the layoffs, we're seeing how I think that Disney's announcement, 7,000 people, we're seeing this goes to, mainstream as well. It's beyond the big tech companies, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's going to start to spread into other sectors of the economy as things get tighter. I've been speaking to a number of people on the real estate front, and it's really starting to slow down there. Not necessarily potentially residential, but when you look at housing starts, when you look at permits, when you look at potential new construction jobs, construction jobs is one of the quickest ones we're starting to see leave the labor market. Had some pretty nasty declines in terms of employee bases over the last two employment reports. So you're starting to see it. The question is, can we stay on this path, or do we blink, kick the can down the road, create a better environment for the next 1 year, 1 to 2 years, but then still deal with inflation on the back end of this decade? I prefer to take our medicine now and have somewhat of a recession, but what we believe would be a very mild recession given everything else that's taking place in the economy.
Interesting. Manny, I want to touch on real estate a little bit. In our listening audience, our little comfort of our suburbs and, Scituate. I'm seeing houses go on the market, spring market, more now than they did a year ago, asking price. Same thing in the Belmont, Watertown, Newton, Needham's, Weston's, Wayland's, all the towns, a lot of these local nice suburbs. The interest rates have doubled. Which just leads, you got to still qualify for this mortgage. So, we're hearing all this. That's where I'm a little confused, because we're hearing about all this, unemployment, potentially layoffs. But on the same token, the two incomes together are still allowing, these people to purchase these homes and qualify. So, incomes are up, particularly for, the white collar. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, so incomes are up. I mean, that's part of the component of CPI that's being tracked is average hourly earnings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, so is cost of living.
Yeah.
So it's left pocket, right pocket at some degree. I don't think that the consumer is better off today than they were in 2019.
Mm-hmm. No.
So I think that you're going to still see things take place in the real estate market, but you can't deny that it's massively slowed down. You will still see houses transact. There'll still be cash buyers.
Mm-hmm.
That won't need a mortgage. There will still be that couple that has no choice but to suck it up and, absorb a 6.5% mortgage rate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those that are being patient, those that are probably pulling back, is at a higher degree than at any period in the last 10 years, call it.
Yeah, very good explanation. Excellent. What else? Final four?
Final four? I mean, I'm all on UConn.
Me too.
I mean, yeah. I've been on them since the beginning. I called them to win it. I have them winning my bracket. But, boy, are they a monster. Playing well at the right time.
They really, really are. Really, really are.
But it should be a fun. I mean, what a great tournament it's been.
It really has been something, you know, got to love.
One of the most entertaining that I can ever remember.
Absolutely, yeah. Stamati, been enjoying the games, I'm sure, as well.
I got to tell you, I'm on the Bruins bandwagon.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Go Bruins. Go
of
Bruins.
Course.
That's it.
I don't know if it's a bandwagon when you're in first place, but.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a first place fan,
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
there you
it.
Go.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you. We celebrated, before we let you go, we celebrated Greek Independence Day the other day. So, Zito Elada, thank you so very much. Always one of our most informative spots here weekly, Tuesdays at 11 o'clock with Manny Frangidakis and 12 Points Wealth Management. Again, want to urge our audience to have a conversation with Manny. 617-212-8343. Again, 617-212-8343, 12 Points Wealth Management. Gentlemen, have yourselves a nice afternoon, and we'll regroup next week. Nastikala. Bye-bye.
Epicis.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you, Stamati. Thank you, Minnie. Bye-bye. Yeah. We'll continue with more music this morning right here on Grecian Echoes.